Well, we always talk to John Latimer about this time because nature has, as you can tell, John, if you've been listening, everybody's been referencing nature. And what do you got? What do you have for us today?
Well, John, I went out and went for a hike yesterday afternoon. I highly recommend getting outside, doing a little walking. This weather is it's maybe not you know what you'd hope for. You'd like some sun and maybe a chance to see a butterfly, but in the meantime, it's still pretty pleasant out there. And while I was walking around yesterday, I was still able to perch about on the crust of the snow, but I kept going to these spots where the snow had melted back. And these are all the result of some aspect of that area. Oftentimes it'd be under a stand of pines where the snow was interrupted from hitting the ground, and so the snow underneath was lower. And then the pines get warm this time of year, and they melt that snow, so you get some bare earth under there. Or maybe you're on a south-facing hillside, and the thing is bare. It doesn't matter where you find the spot. What's important is that you wander over there and take a look. And, you know, generally the ground is going to be covered with browns and tans, but here and there you're going to see some greens. And lots of old leaves and dead plants are brown and tan, but what about those green plants? Who are they? And why are they green?
Yeah.
Some plants, it turns out, are evergreen. Nearly all of the conifers maintain their needles year-round, the tamarack being the exception in this area. But down at ground level, there are some smaller plants that remain green just like the conifers. And who are they? And that depends, of course, on where you are. If you are in a swamp, it could be Labrador tea or leatherleaf, bog rosemary, bog laurel. All are members of the Ericaceae family. On higher ground, evergreen plants include trailing arbutus, one of my favorites, gold thread, bearberry, pipsissewa, wintergreen, round-lobed hepatica, and pyrolas, to name a few of the more common ones. So why be evergreen? What advantage does it confer, and why don't all plants evolve to be evergreen? Well, the problem there is that most plants that become evergreen are growing in less than perfect conditions. Perhaps the soil they're on is too acidic or too dry, or it may lack necessary minerals, most specifically phosphorus. The absence of phosphorus has been linked to the development of evergreen leaves and plants. One might think that in terms that the cost in terms of energy used to produce this leaf, this evergreen leaf, would be higher in the evergreens than in deciduous plants, and oddly, this is not necessarily the case. Evergreens produce leaves built for the long haul. They use lots of lignin and fibers along with chemicals designed to defend the leaf from attack. Deciduous plants, maples, oaks, those sorts of things, create leaves with high quantities of proteins and photosynthetic enzymes. Depending on the location and the type of leaf, the energy costs between being evergreen and producing this leaf for a deciduous tree can be relatively equal. On richer soils, deciduous plants dominate. It is simpler to develop leaves that are designed to function for the short term. They can be larger, thinner, less well-defended since their loss is not fatal to the plant. The ready availability of nutrients in the soil allows the plant to grow new leaves easily. And though it would seem that having evergreen leaves would allow the plant to photosynthesize all the time, evergreen leaves tend to be tough, waxy, thicker, smaller. And these characteristics preserve the plant's water and nutrients while at the same time reducing the amount of photosynthate produced. So they may husband the plant's existing nutrients and water, but at the cost of producing less food. The advantages of being evergreen, include the slow but continuous loss of leaves. And this ensures a constant supply of nutrients as the leaves lost decompose. Because the leaves are usually thicker, stronger, and chemically defended, more chemically defended than deciduous leaves, they decompose slowly, further delaying the loss of the nutrients that are in the leaves. The presence of the leaves year-round also aids the plant community by allowing any precipitation to leach small quantities of nutrients from these tough leaves that have fallen on the ground to the soil. In the soils that are nutritionally challenged, this slow release coincides with the nutritional uptake of the plants. A balance develops between the food lost and the food required. In a deciduous system, the nutrients are all dumped onto the soils in one big leaf fall at the end of the growing season, and often these nutrients are leached away before the plants can take advantage of them. When this happens on poor soils, deciduous plants are not able to thrive. Because evergreen plants are so effective when it comes to retaining the nutrients they pick up from the soil, they tend to do well on soils where nutrient loads are light. Conversely, in fertile soils, evergreen species cannot accumulate as much food as deciduous species in the same amount of time. Litter decomposition in nutrient-poor and acid soils is slow, and evergreen leaves tend to add acids to the soils as they decompose, further favoring those plants that are parsimonious with their resources. So when you talk about spring and you're walking about, notice those bright, lovely green things. And think about cost benefits in soil chemistry. Or just enjoy the moment and realize that there's more than one path to success.
Right. Thanks, John, for that.
So lots of ways to enjoy the outdoors. If you're out walking around today, you're going to see in these bare spots, you're going to see clumps of grasses. Now, they're not grasses. Most of them, in fact, I think almost all of them are sedges. And among those, you have three sedges in particular that are common on soils, evergreen throughout the winter, and conspicuous this time of year. And they're going to be Carex pedunculata, Carex arcata, and Carex Dracillima. And all three of those are going to be out there. Also, Carex pennsylvanicus, or pennsylvanica, the Pennsylvania sedge. Those four clumps, grassy clumps, are going to be evident wherever you go in the woods because they are quite prominent throughout the area. And they'll be as green as everything else that's green out there. But
all right. Okay, John. Thanks a lot for the tip.
You bet.
Have a good day.
Look at the green stuff.
All right. That's John Latimer. You can hear him Tuesday mornings on Northern Community Radio and, of course, Daily Dose of Phenology.